Listen now to the Chapel Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The messages we bring you, preached in chapel and other services on the campus, have been greatly used of God in the past and are still being used of God today. Our speaker is Dr. Sam Schneider of the Bob Jones University Bible Faculty. He preached this message at a daily morning prayer service at the university's annual Bible Conference on Tuesday, March 21, 1989. Prayer is one of the main disciplines that God gives us to draw closer to Him. Let us be faithful in seeking Him. Dr. Schneider preaches from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 for his text. His message is titled, Effective Prayer Through Practice and Perseverance.
In Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and in the first verses of that Gospel in that chapter, we find the occasion upon which the Lord gives His disciples the Lord's Prayer. It is interesting to note that occasion. The event is recorded in the other Gospels, but Luke is the one who records the occasion. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. I appreciate very much the message last night by our speaker and his emphasis on discipleship and what it would require to be a disciple, what it requires not to be a disciple. And in this instance, we're looking at disciples, who, as our speaker last night noted, are different from just born-again sons, disciples who want to pray. It's interesting to me that we are looking at people here who are interested in praying. They want to pray, and yet they feel a lack in that area. At the crucial hour of Christ's betrayal, you may recall, Jesus rebuked His disciples long past this event when, as He was facing the most difficult time of His earthly ministry, He asked His disciples to watch with Him, to pray with Him. And somehow these men who are closest to our Lord, who had been with Him through His ministry, had seen His works, were not able to enter into effective prayer and to understand what our Lord was going through at that crucial time. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Well, what do we do about people? And I know there are lots of people who don't want to pray, but what do we do about people who want to pray and find that they can't, or so often do not? I'd like to point your attention in just one direction. I know there are a number of answers to that question from the Scripture, but I'd like to point your direction, your attention to one direction, and that is this. Praying is so often too much of an effort. It's just too much of an effort. This is not surprising for the natural man for whom there is no discernment of spiritual things, who receiveth not the Spirit of God. That's not surprising that he has no interest in prayer and that he finds it an extreme effort to do so. He may at times desire to pray. I've known ungodly, unsaved people who felt the impulse to pray at times, perhaps in danger. That happens frequently. Or maybe during a time of religious frame of mind. Sometimes the unsaved want to pray at those times. But daily, regular prayer appeals to the unsaved man as an unreasonable burden. It is a burdensome task, and very few assume that burden. There are some who do, perhaps, and pray a little bit to God every day. But they feel that even as they do so, this is a heavy requirement brought on them by a very strict God who insists on it. And they view their prayer life in that direction. Unfortunately, I think there are many Christians who view their prayer life in the same direction as the natural, unsaved man. And that's a tragedy. Oh, I'm sure that when we were first saved, all of us have experienced times where the joy and comfort of prayer was very real to us. And we delighted in prayer. But as time wears on, the mind becomes worldly. Prayer becomes a burden and an effort. And the more it becomes so, the more we seem to do it as a matter of duty. We just carry it out superficially, performing our duty, because after all, we're Christians, we're supposed to do that. And there is a neglect in prayer that naturally comes upon us. And I submit to you that the results of such neglect are extremely fatal to our spiritual welfare in our lives. And these results, so I won't go into them in depth, begin with this worldly mindedness that sets in. As a result of that, we become alienated from God. And the more we become alienated from God because of our worldliness, the less we have to say to God in our prayer life. Our prayers, therefore, become mundane, superficial, external. And beyond that, we get into an unwilling spirit about prayer. And we find ourselves making excuses for not praying and neglecting prayer to a severe degree. And the results of that are a weakening of the inner life. We find that we are not resisting sin as we should because we do not view it as God views it in our lives. And eventually we come to the point where it's no longer honestly confessed. And sooner or later, if we get to that extent in our lives, we begin to resist sin in no different way than the worldly man resists it. And that is only in terms of its immediate consequences to our welfare. That's the only time we resist it. What a tragic way of life. And of course, a Christian doesn't want this to be known to other Christians, so he hides his worldliness and becomes hypocritical about his prayer life. And this act further strangles whatever little prayer life might have been there in their hearts. I say this is a long progression that happens, and I suspect it has happened in all of our lives at some time or another, and to some degree or another, and maybe recurringly in our lives. I know it's happened in mine. And I ask myself, what do we do to gain the ability to pray properly and maintain a prayer life? There's a certain helplessness that comes in here. We recognize our plight, and we view it as a very serious plight and one that we cannot remedy. Who do we go to? It's God that we've offended. Now, I suggest there's a solution to this for us, and that is not a desperate situation for those who know the Lord and want to be His disciples. As a teacher of Greek at the university, I find that I have to remind my students over and over and over again in the classroom that learning Greek is not a matter of coming into the classroom, sitting for 50 minutes a day, and hearing what I have to say about the language. Learning a language, any language, is a skill. It requires the efforts of developing a skill. There are different skills. There are sports skills. There are fine arts skills, instrumental vocal skills. These things are not learned by simply going to a person who knows the skills and saying, teach me to sing, to play the violin, to play the piano, and then watching for 50 minutes while the teacher tells something. I'm sure the disciples would have been foolish if they had thought when Jesus answered their request here, which he did, he answered their request by giving them what we call the Lord's Prayer. But how foolish it would be to say, okay, I've memorized the Lord's Prayer. Now I know how to pray. No, that's just like the Greek student who says, well, I've learned the alphabet, now I know how to use the Greek language. We've only gotten the basics down. We have to know that, but that's not nearly enough. And a student can sit through my courses one semester, two, three, four, five, six semesters in the Greek language, and if nothing takes place except sitting there and listening to what I have to say, as interesting as that may be, well, they will never learn Greek. Now, I submit that prayer and the ability to cultivate prayer in our lives is something like developing a skill in the area of language or sports or fine arts. There is something to it that has to be applied here. Now, learning one of the other skills, a language skill, would require native ability. It would require great knowledge. It would require a lot of money, perhaps, to invest in long periods of training. In the gracious mercy of our God, cultivating the skill of prayer does not require these things. You don't have to have great ability. You do not need a lot of knowledge. It is not required of you that you have much money. But there are a couple of things that are required. A couple of months ago, in developing another message on prayer, I came across a passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That's an interesting verse. I've all my life, as I've heard that verse, applied it to soul winning. I've always thought that was a soul winning verse. As I check the context, I notice that it is in a context where the Holy Spirit addresses the messenger to the seven churches. If you look at your red letter New Testament, all those letters are red. Jesus is speaking to the churches. He is not speaking to the world. God addresses the churches here. And I think this is a tremendous verse to open the door for us to prayer. Notice that he does not say if you have the right qualifications. He does not say if you will develop a certain native ability, if you have a lot of giftedness, I will come in. He says, behold, I stand. The form of the word there, I stand, indicates that he's been there. He was there from a time in the past, and he's still there at the door. And he says, and I knock. The form of the verb there indicates that he's knocking continuously. It's not something he did once and then stopped. There's a continuous knocking at that door. If any man hear my voice, the form of the construction there indicates that you do not have to comprehend and grasp all that he says to you. You just need to hear the fact that he's there knocking and open the door. And I will come into him. Oh, we need the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts for salvation. There's no question about that. And I will sup with him. In the ancient world, the most intimate and blessed moments of fellowship were fellowship together around a meal. That was the greatest amount of fellowship. I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. Blessed fellowship with our Lord. I say this is a prayer verse. This is a verse that we ought to cultivate in our lives for prayer. He stands at our door knocking. He wants communion with us. How do we arrive at that? You say, opening doors is a very simple task. We do it all the day in our routine life. Yes, we do. But opening the door of our hearts to the entrance of the Savior is not quite so routine. And I say there are two things that we need in order to develop, cultivate the skill of prayer in our lives. And that is practice and perseverance. Practice and perseverance. It is a common thing among those who practice one thing to go through some times of difficulty, get some painfully disappointing experiences in the practice of that skill. My Greek students can tell you that at quiz time. There are some disappointments in the practice. There are things pointed out as wrong. There are mistakes made. Something akin to the gifted young man who was trained to be a carrier-based fighter pilot in World War II, went out on his first mission, and with great heroic effort was able to shoot down 5 of the enemy aircraft, although he got separated from his squadron in so doing, and couldn't find his carrier. Eventually he did find his carrier, was able to come back and land safely on that carrier while the airplane was still bobbing on the wire. He jumped out of the cockpit, ran up the tower to the captain and said, "Captain, Captain! You'll never believe this, but my first mission, and I shot down 5 Japanese Zeros. What do you think of that?" And the captain, looking out across the ocean, turned around very slowly and said, "Very good, only make one small mistake." You say, that man's dead. He's in the wrong camp. He's made a fatal error. Yes, that's true. In the grace and mercy of our God, we can make errors that desperate in our prayer life, but it is not fatal to us. We have a powerful Savior who can rescue us. But in order to put the power of that Savior to work in our lives, it is necessary for us to recognize our condition of helplessness before Him and to lay it at the Savior's feet. To recognize our condition of helplessness and to simply hear His voice and open that door. Practice, I say, and perseverance is what we need to cultivate in our lives the kind of prayer life that will not desert the Savior in His crucial hour and will not desert our friends that we need to be interceding for in their crucial times as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
The message you've just heard on the Chapel platform can be yours. Please send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Sam Schneider, the message titled Effective Prayer Through Practice and Perseverance, and also be sure to mention today's date. The Chapel platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University. Join us again for the Chapel platform.